This episode of Extra Features is sponsored by Starship Films. Some great titles such as Lars and the Emo Kid, Conjoined and the Dead of Night can all be found on Amazon Prime. Enjoy the show!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode number 195.
Five.
And I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Daniel.
Intern.
So, why don't we go through the intro business, Simon, where we talk a little bit about what we are and what we're doing.
Oh, God, Kevin, I'm going insane. I started that new podcast I told you about with 20 Minutes with Chad. The first two episodes are recorded. The first one's available on our website at Extra Features.
So what do you talk about in 20 Minutes with Chad?
Well, Chad does 5 minutes of ranting, and we just discuss whatever Chad wants to discuss for 20 minutes. And
Who is Chad, by the way?
Chad is an independent filmmaker who made about 20 films, lives in L.A., and works at Pizza Hut in his spare time. And he just makes indie films all the time. So, and he's done a lot of directing work with Ron Jeremy, and he's worked at the Pornhub, and he's just nuts.
Any films we would have seen?
Pardon?
Any films we would have seen?
Yeah, he does a lot of independent films. We're doing, on episode 3, we're doing his independent pilot. I can't even remember, with Ron Jeremy, whatever it was called. We're doing that. We have some interviews of a great short called The Lunch Ladies with Clarissa Jacobson. And that, if you listen to 20 Minutes of Chat, will involve our first giveaway that she's sending us, a swag bag. We have Super Speed Date coming up with Carolyn Kennedy. I just did an interview with Mr. Vomit, Beats Natal, which was one of the strangest 3-minute thing I've ever seen in my life. We also did an interview with producer James Oakland and his 5 shorts. And we did our first documentary, an Extra Features interview, A Place to Call His Own with Matt Cumland, which was like intense. His friend died in a car crash, street racing. Uh-huh. And he made a film about it. So it was pretty intense stuff, and that's what's going on. And, of course, we have the Extra Features movie challenge we're working on for the Oscars next week. I think the same week this comes out, that'll be out, and we'll find out who wins. And that's what's been going on in our life. We're pretty busy because Chad's every week and 3 episodes of interviews. What have you been up to, Kev?
Well, actually, before we do that, why don't we just tell people where we can find our stuff?
Oh, you can find all our stuff at www.extrafeatures.ca. We have a PayPal link there. If you like us, just drop us a dollar. We're really not upsetting. You can subscribe to the show there if you love it. We also have our T-shirts in 5 different colors. It should be up next week, I think. Or when you're hearing it,
you can also find us on iTunes.
You can find us on iTunes and extrafeatures.ca, just Extra Features Podcast.
Okay.
And we're up there. That's it. That's all I got.
All right.
I'm going insane. Trying to keep
You're
up
going
with
insane.
All this. I'm going insane, yes.
Well, it's too late. No, I mean, just kidding.
Oh.
I'm
always still about 5 podcasts of editing behind all the time, and I'm just trying to keep up.
But it kind of reminds me of my life.
Yeah, I do feel like you would try to program sometimes all those shows.
Yeah. Because, with my job with Fan Expo, I do, it's like 10 shows a year, 11 shows a year now. So it's booking guests and doing programming. So I'm glad you've got this covered for Extra Features, because there's no way I could do it.
No, I realize that. And Dan, what have you been up to?
It's a reading week for my school. So I've just been chilling, sleeping a lot this week. So,
not writing reviews for the moviebuff.ca?
Yeah, we're going to gear up for Mob Movie March, I think he calls it. So that's exciting.
And the intern, how's your documentary going? Bob Walks the Mall?
Bye.
wow, that's good, hey? Bye. Well, me and Dan have
this episode, Carol McCorn.
We've decided that we're going to get our film crew come and follow you around one day.
Yeah, we'll get you some cinema.
Oh, we think Bob Walks the Mall is a definite indie feature darling for next year.
I think he should follow it up with Bob Goes to Walmart.
I think so, and get some DVDs. I think it's all there, Bob. There's definitely a doc for me.
You even make a web series out of it.
There we go. We got a web series.
Nice. More things for us to edit, right? For you to edit.
Get ready, Dad, because it's coming your way.
Okay.
Hey, is it true that we added T-shirts?
We did add T-shirts. 5 different colors. We have, oh great, now you put me on the spot trying to remember these things. White.
Chartreuse. Did I hear there's a chartreuse T-shirt?
That's fancy.
There could have been. We have black, we have red, we have blue, we have green. And we have white, and they're $25 plus shipping, which I don't know how much it is yet. I'll figure it out, but I'm getting there. They're coming. Coming soon. Being worked on as we speak.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
So, speaking of the theater, Dan, we've never had this conversation. I don't think Kevin's ever answered Bob. Do you pick your own seats where you live?
So at the Landmark by my house, like the theater closest to me, is recliner chairs. And so we picked those seats. So that's why Peter Rabbit was sold out today. But at the Silver City, which is like 20 minutes away from me, it's only pick your own seats if it's IMAX.
So there's my question. So you walk into a pick your own seat theater. You're the first person in the theater for my argument. Where do you sit and why?
I like the corners, kind of like 4 rows up, so kind of where Ebert sat, just because, I mean, it's a good spot. Sometimes I like to go down for, like, if the seats are going down further, though, like you walk in and you have to go down for your seats, like the older school theaters, I like to go up front more, just because the volume's better there.
Kevin?
Middle. Be where I would tend to go.
And that's like right in the middle, right? So dead on, straight middle.
Middle row, middle seats, yeah.
Intern?
Aisle seat.
Now why? Because you have to get up a lot in the aisle. Always drives me nuts.
I don't sit anywhere where there's anybody else sitting. I just sit on an aisle, whatever.
Yeah, I'm antisocial, too. I try to avoid people.
See, I am the weirdest person, Kevin. I only go to Landmark because I have to have the seat I want.
Okay.
It has to be middle, in K. Letter K. I've gone and sat in L, M, K. I know exactly what seat I want. If that seat's not there, I won't go.
Oh, Kevin.
Is that not weird that I'm that anal? And when I take my children, that is my seat. They can sit on either side, but I take the middle seat.
I don't know. My buddy's pretty particular about it, too. Like, at IMAX, he likes E16, 17.
Yeah, and that has to be his seat, right?
Yeah.
So he's me.
Around there.
I'm exactly the same. I don't buy a drink. And I will not buy popcorn because it tastes like crap.
I usually only get popcorn if it's, like, first morning show and I haven't eaten yet. Because it's like, okay, I gotta have some food. So that's my thinking in that respect.
Kevin knows what I like to bring in the movie theater. Some souvlaki, right, Kevin, on a bun?
Souvlaki in a bun.
Kevin was there the day I brought in 2 souvlaki in a bun right into the movie theater.
From out of nowhere, he pulls out souvlaki.
100, Kevin?
And metal wrapping paper and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like,
why didn't you grab one for me?
I did. What, I brought 2.
You did, actually, yeah.
I did bring you one. You're like, where did I just walk? Daniel, I walked into the theater with it in my bag, and it stunk.
Is that like a type of sandwich?
Yeah, it's like a sandwich with souvlaki covered in tzatziki. Kevin's like, how did you walk in? I said, I just walked in. They didn't say anything to me.
It's like wrapped in tinfoil and everything.
Yeah, I used to go in the movie theater, this independent theater when I was younger, and they didn't care. We used to bring 2-liter bottles of Coke and a full pizza in.
Oh, my gosh.
And
sitting really?
The guy didn't care. He was just happy we went to the theater. He didn't care if we bought anything there. We were going to his movie. We used to eat pizza all the time. Full pizza. We used to order the pizza next door, pick it up, and just walk in with it. He didn't care.
Did you at least bribe him?
No. He's like, thanks for coming to my theater. We used to go all the time.
Because, oh, wow, okay.
So for me to go to the movies, I have to go to the dollar store first.
So he just accepts, like, okay, you see so many movies, that'll make up the difference with the...
Well, I guess so. I mean, because I have to have licorice, and I only want licorice.
Really? Are you the whips guy, or do you like the nibs, too?
I like the cherry nibs, because they stink.
You like them because they stink?
Oh, I love that stinky licorice. And I'm getting sick of the movie theater prices. They're outrageous. My daughter had a gift certificate at Cineplex. She went to see Peter Rabbit. She bought a popcorn, one of their bags of candy, and a drink, and it was $17.
Jeez.
Wow. I said, that's ridiculous. I'm not paying for this. And she goes, I have my own money. I'm like, here you go. Buy whatever you want. Somebody gave you a gift certificate, you pay for it. I will not buy that stuff anymore. I'll take them to the dollar store and tell them to get whatever they want, put it in your pocket, we're walking in.
I like them, like the kind of like the second-run theaters, because the snacks are a bit cheaper there.
A bit cheaper? They're reasonable.
Yeah, right? They're good.
We don't have any second runs out here where I live.
Oh, really? I have one in, because I'm out in Orleans, so I have, like, one CineStars. So, like, I get, like, because the movie tickets are, like, $5. So, cool. If I go for, like, a thing and get, like, a popcorn and a drink, it's, like, $12.
No problems with $12.
Because that's the price of a regular ticket at
right.
Landmark.
I have no issues with that. So, sitting in the theater, sitting at... I guess we should lead in our first movie, Peter Rabbit. I decide to watch trailers because the intern's making fun of me lately that I don't watch trailers. So I said, you know what? I will spend a few minutes watching trailers. I saw some stuff, weird stuff. I don't know. I don't think I can watch any more trailers. I don't remember any of them other than the Spider-Man trailer. But I do remember Peter Rabbit starring James Corden, Dom Hill Gleason, Sia... Colin Moody, Sam Neill, Margot Robbie, Elizabeth Debicki again, and Daisy Ridley, Rose Byrne as Bee.
She's the main girl, right?
Yeah, she's the girl that lives next door. I guess I have a lot of problems with this film because Peter Rabbit's a dick. Like, a complete and utter dick. And it really, because I remember the books as a kid, and I mean, they're very well illustrated. But Peter Rabbit kills the Farmer McGregor right off the top. The guy dies.
He kills.
Kills him. He has a heart attack and dies. And he goes off in the ice cream truck. That's what Peter Rabbit calls it, the ambulance, and doesn't come back. And then Peter Rabbit invades his garden and takes over the whole house.
Hmm.
I'm like, what the F is going on? And then, of course, Dom Hill Gleason enters the picture as his nephew. He's never met this, you know, and he tries to kill Peter Rabbit. And Peter Rabbit tries to kill him like he did the other guy. And Bee lives next door, and the rabbits are just perfect to her.
So is it physical Dom Hill Gleason, or is it a 3D?
No, it's a physical Dom Hill Gleason. It's a physical Rose Byrne. And all the rabbits are CGI'd. The only good guy in this is the pig. The pig makes me laugh so hard. I don't know who plays the pig. I'll try to figure out why Bob's talking about this film.
I didn't
hate it. I just like, what a dick is Peter Rabbit. I just wanted him to get eaten because he was such a dick. Bob, what did you think of this?
It was fine. I watched it. Near the end, he realizes what he's done, and he tries to make amends because he sees what he's done to upset Rose Byrne's character, Bee. And then he looks from Bee over to the guy, and he says, "Oh, I really screwed up here." So he tries to make amends. And he tries to fix it, and then he changes. He actually goes from being a dick to he tries to change into a nicer rabbit.
But does he really? He's trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. He kind of has to have a coming to moment so we don't think he's a complete asshole. Am I wrong here?
He realized he was an ass, so he tries. He actually tries to repair what he's done. Because he looks. He not only destroyed Bee's house, he destroyed their house too, and the tree The tree destroyed both their houses.
And what was up with CCH Pounder? Like, it was just bizarre. Like, Domhnall Gleeson's the only one that realizes the rabbits can talk?
I guess.
Like, I had a lot of problems with that whole scene of him at the department store. I'm like, this is just bizarre. Like, I thought that was just kind of hammered in so we had a little bit more backstory for him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then he has a coming to story that they can all be friends. And you want to watch me throw up? And, I mean, I kind of just accept it was a kid's movie, so we needed a kid's ending. We couldn't eat the rabbit, even though I wanted to.
Mm.
Like, and I thought the pig was great. The pig Floppy was great. The pig, I'm on a diet, he keeps eating everything.
Did you find out who plays him?
Yeah, it's Ewan Leslie plays the pig.
Okay.
But I gave this film a passing grade, like right down the middle, because I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I just thought it was kind of, like, they're mean to Farmer McGregor. Both times. Like, mean. Like, all the bunnies are not nice to him. And I'm kind of like, I thought you're supposed to have sympathy for Peter Rabbit trying to get eaten or trying to get blown up. No. I had full confidence Domhnall Gleeson should have done it. you know, I felt kind of bad for him. I'm just like, these rabbits suck. You know, and the whole thing started because Peter Rabbit was jealous because his mom died and his dad died. And B was like his new mom, and her and Domhnall Gleeson were falling in love, and he was upset. I'm like, okay.
Oh, jeez, really?
Yeah, that's what the film's about. Like I said, it's not a there's parts of this film I quite liked. Like, okay. The CGI is beautiful. I thought the slapstick comedy at times was fantastic. But it just was bordering on the line going, I don't know how to take this film. You know, okay. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I just, Peter Rabbit's a dick.
It got a pretty mediocre Metascore, like 52.
So that's what it is. I gave it a 5 just because I liked too many parts of it. I would love to hear both of you guys to see this and give me an opinion, especially Kevin.
Yeah, I'll try to see it this weekend or tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever see this one, to be honest.
Well, I didn't think he would, but just hoping.
I mean, maybe when it's on Netflix or something.
I know, that's fine. Bob, am I wrong with what I said about Peter Rabbit?
What?
That it was just mediocre? Like, what did you think of it?
Well, I agreed with you that he was at the beginning, and then by the end, he tried to change. What else do you want me to say?
Well, what do you think of Rose Byrne as an actress? I find her, she's just like, eh.
She's really funny at Get Him to the Greek and for his bridesmaids.
Yeah, but she's always just that same voice.
Like, the same voice? Okay.
She's always just Rose Byrne. She doesn't try to be anybody else. She's always just, look at me, I'm Rose Byrne. I'm not going to upset anybody.
Do you like her in the X-Men movies?
As Moira MacTaggert? Again, she's barely there.
Okay.
So can I ask you, did we see any other movies?
Winchester?
This has gone a little bit long.
Sorry. Winchester? Cate Blanchett? No, whoops.
Helen Mirren.
Thank you. And who's the guy lead, Bob, the guy? I know I've seen him. Jason or something?
I don't know.
Oh, I saw. Jason I used to watch Clark? Him. There we go. His name is Jason Clark.
I just said that.
Oh,
from Zero Dark Thirty.
And Sarah Snook.
Listen when I...
Whatever.
And what did you think of Winchester, Bob?
It was fine.
Can you give me more than fine, or is that what you're going to give me tonight?
It was based on the family that created the Winchester guns. She's a widow. She's a widow, and she keeps on building pieces of her house because she has access to ghosts or something that were killed by the Winchester guns. So they build a room and then they lock it up and board it up, and hopefully the ghost doesn't come out.
This film.
But it's been accessing her grandson, and all the ghosts access her grandson, and sort of like, it's a sort of a Ouija board type thing that they get into.
This film makes no sense to me. Absolutely not. I got the premise early on. I thought Sarah Snook was just there. You know, I really wish we saw more of the house or had a little bit more understanding of what each room represented, but that wasn't explained. She just talks about how she's always building.
It was explained.
That each room
the people get killed. They decorate the room in which they were killed as it was. Like, his wife was killed, was died in a room that's similar to the garden house. So she comes into the room, and when he realizes what went on, because he's kept the bullet all this time, he took a bullet for her, but he died for 3 minutes, but he came back.
Yeah, because she asked him, do you see ghosts? And he denied it. I'm like, you see ghosts? Why would you deny that? Do you know what I mean? I guess what I'm saying is I wanted to see more rooms in the house. I wanted to see the house more utilized. I found it was very...
It would be a long movie if that happened.
It might have been a more interesting movie. I just found it was just ghost scene. Something happens, another ghost scene. I'm like, boring.
They did show one particular scene in which that guy was in the army or something, and they concentrated on him, and it showed how he died, and he wanted like a little what did he want? He wanted an apology from from Helen Mirren's character.
Yeah, which she had nothing to do with. Like again, it made no sense to me at times. This film. I mean, it's just like constant ghost scenes. And then I'm like, okay, each ghost was killed with a Winchester. I get that. They're going to be in the room. They lock up the room. Okay, I got that. But then they take over the kid, and they're trying to kill the kid. And then the kid disappears for a while. Sarah Snook disappears, and they focus more on him giving a psychiatric evaluation to her. I'm like, okay, he's going to let her off because he finally gets it with his wife. I just didn't think it was good.
Okay.
I mean, am I missing anything?
I tried to explain, but you won't let me. So
I did let you explain. I think this film is pointless. It's not
so
scary.
So, no, it is based on a real place.
Yes, and they used to have 8 floors, but they had an earthquake in 1906 and took off 4 of them. Destroyed 4 floors. But she had no plans, and she just kept building rooms. And I did the whole research on this film before I watched it because I was interested. And you can actually take tours of it. And they've opened more rooms now.
Now, have you read Alan Moore's Swamp Thing run?
No.
Okay, because there is an issue of that which takes place in the house.
Okay, then I gotta find that. I'll see if
that's part of the American Gothic storyline, and it just basically it details the fact that this place captures ghosts. And maintains their spirits.
Do you know anybody who's been to the Winchester House? Like, I don't, but I want to know.
But it's what's fascinating about it is that... Yeah? No, it's in America.
San Jose.
It's just that they kept building wings on it. Right? There's no rhyme or reason to it.
No, she had no architect. She just kept building, telling the constantly building, 24/7.
And it's like famous, like, you know, actually, I think one of those, That's Incredible, or one of those shows actually went there in the 70s and filmed a bunch of stuff. So you'll go up stairways, and then you'll go up a stairwell, and it'll just stop. It'll go into the ceiling. There'll be no, you know, won't go anywhere. Or, you know, there'll be a closet, and you open the door, and it's a brick wall.
Harry Potter place.
Kind of like that. But, you know, you might be in your bedroom, and you might open the door, which you think is a closet. And it's actually a door to the outside, and you're 3 stories up.
Well, they do that in the film, right near the end. Like, he thinks he's looking in the closet, and it's actually a secret door on the other side. Just before the end. It was kind of like, oh, okay. That was kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along. Paddington 2, Bob. Ben Winslow, Hugh Grant, Hugh Bonneville, and Sally Hawkins. Michael Gambon.
What movie is this?
Paddington 2 involves Staunton, and I think that's about it. Oh, Julie Walters. Oh, the Harry Potter alumnus right here. Bob, Paddington 2?
I didn't mind it. It was, like, cute, but it sort of dragged.
Yeah, I have to agree. I thought Hugh Grant did a marvelous job.
I love
the problem. I think these films, the major, they're gearing towards kids, not us. You know, and they have to have the cute cuddly bear scene. They have to have a funny bear scene. They have to have the parents being kind of silly. I mean, I was hoping the prison escape. I thought they were trying to mimic, oh my God, the guy that does Grand Budapest, Wes Anderson. I thought they were totally trying to pull a Wes Anderson scene off there. And I think Paddington 2 is just Wes Anderson light at times. Like, they're trying to be quirky and funny. I did like it better than the first one. I thought it worked better. And I like Hugh Bonneville a lot. I really enjoy him. And Sally Hawkins I love. I think it's a nice story. I like the ending.
Sally Hawkins stayed close. She stayed clothed in this one?
Yeah, she does stay clothed in Paddington 2, yes.
Hey.
So, Bob, I mean, I think it's a fun kids movie. I think it's very enjoyable. I think it works on all the levels it's going for. I like the ending
scene. He was trying to get a present for his grandmother, so he wanted the perfect present.
I thought it was aunt. Wasn't it his aunt or was it his grandmother?
His aunt, then. Fine, whatever.
I like the chase scene at the end. I thought worked really well. On the train? No? You okay?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
You've forgotten this one already, have you? Okay.
No, I'm just thinking I like the first one better for some reason instead of the second one.
That's all good. I think they're very similar films.
The second one suffers from sequel envy.
I disagree. I like the second one better. I think Hugh Grant was much better than Nicole Kidman.
All right.
So let's move along since we're in a hurry tonight. Ferdinand, starring the voices of John Cena, Kate McKinnon, Bobby Cannavale, and Jack Gordon, some people I don't know, and Jeremy Cito, Batman himself.
Is that Bobby Cannavale?
Bobby Cannavale. I'm going to start. This is probably the most terrible film I saw last year. I think it was my number one worst film of the year. How did this film get nominated for an Oscar? I have no idea. It is boring. Absolutely boring and dumb. I want to punch Kate McKinnon's fair in the face. I want to eat John Cena. Who ever heard of a bullfighting film where the bull doesn't want to fight? And just wants to talk to his barnyard friends for an hour and a half.
That sounds like a great time, man.
Yeah, but that's the story. That's the Ferdinand the Bull story, is that he's a peaceful bull.
Is this based on a children's book or something I'm missing?
Yeah, there's actually... She reads in the Blind Side. Sandra Bullock reads it to her kids. That's how I know of it.
Wow, look at you, yoink, pulling that one out.
Obscure.
Well, I didn't know that, but I mean, I'm watching this, and I'm just like, I'm watching this.
Actually, I think Disney did it, like a 5-minute cartoon of it.
Well, my 10-year-old laughed. She's like, "I'm done. This stinks," and leaves.
Oh, right.
She just got up and laughed. She's like, "This is terrible."
I'm pretty sure a lot of kids did that with Norm of the North.
Oh, they loved Norm of the North compared to Ferdinand.
What?
She thought it was terrible, but she made it through it. She did not make it through this one. She's like,
Emoji Movie?
The 8-year-old loved it. The 10-year-old said, "This is one of the worst things I've ever seen."
Okay.
But no, she thought Ferdinand was terrible. And that's their target audience, is that 8 to 10-year-old.
And good taste.
And my 10-year-old watched about 45 minutes and "I'm out. I'm done. Time to go." Cars 2, she did the same thing in the theater. Time to go.
She has actually really good taste.
Yeah, she
I didn't see Cars 2, but...
Yeah, she just got bored. She's like, "This is not interesting." Like, she's getting to the point now she's realizing there's better things out there. And when she says to you, "It's time to leave the theater," I'm like, "We're halfway up. I gotta go." "Okay, I guess we're going." And we just got up and left, so I had to finish it off later. Better go back and sneak in and see it.
Like, to me, it's like I need to finish movies that I start.
Oh, so do I. But she's not at that point yet. She's like, "This stinks. I'm done."
Okay.
Like, boring. So, I mean, Bob, what did you think of this?
It was boring. I fell asleep. Just I started nodding off. I'm going, "What?" And then I had to rewatch it again. I'm going, where did I leave off here?
Who can remember? The film is so boring.
I knew it was based on the children's book myself. I mean, but I remember liking that as a kid, but I didn't like this thing. Come on, let's get it finished. But I didn't want to leave. I thought, stick it out. Watch the whole thing.
And how do you think it got nominated for an Oscar?
I have no idea.
Go for it, Michael. Is it Batman.
Nominated in the past picture? I don't understand how it could be.
Okay, moving along. A Feudal and Stupid Jester, Kevin. Will Forte, Martin Mull, Domhnall Gleeson again. And it cast a thousand, including Joel McHale.
So is this just you and I who saw this one?
Daniel saw it.
So this was an interesting film. It's basically about the founding of National Lampoon magazine in the 70s, which came out of the Harvard Lampoon. And, basically these two goofy guys that one's a dropout guy, and the other guy's sort of a money man with a sense of humor. You know, basically intellectual snobs that like to crack a lot of jokes. So, anyway, they found the National Lampoon magazine as one of the first comedy magazines, national comedy magazines. So, I don't know, it's just kind of funny how it spins out into the films and the other books and things like that. How they were breaking ground and the crazy cast of characters that they hired to write for them. What's interesting is it's narrated by Martin Mull as one of the guys. But he's narrating, I don't know, should I blow it?
It's up to you. I would leave it, let Dan see it.
Yeah.
I can tune out. I could take out my...
No, it's all right.
No, it's okay. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's definitely worth seeing. It's kind of cool to see where Animal House came from, where Caddyshack came from.
What year is it?
This year, on Netflix.
Yeah, it just came out.
Oh, okay. But to me, it sounded like a mid-2000s kind of thing.
No.
Okay, my bad.
It literally just came out around Christmas time.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'll check it out.
I think it suffered. I like the film. I want to state that first. I think it suffered some stiffness at times. I just found it was the same thing over and over and over again. Like, it was progressing all the time. But my favorite scenes are the characters are amazing when they introduce all the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really enjoyed the first half of this film when they were getting the magazine organized, setting things up, talking about marshmallows. I thought was great. I really like Domhnall Gleeson's character, but I just found it started slowing down as the drugs poured in. And I mean, it was still interesting to me, but I think when Will Forte starts having his crisis one after another, the film starts slowing down a bit for me. But I love the scene the food fight idea came from. I enjoyed the Caddyshack 4-hour cut. I love the tour scene when they have the tour. And inside there, they're writing a new film. They come out fighting. I thought that was hysterical.
So apparently it's good if you really like National Lampoon.
No.
Just want to see the...
I think you just... It's a solid film. It's not a great film. It's not going to blow you away. But it interests me. I love the characters. Because there's like a billion guest stars in this film. And I'm not going to tell you who they are. You got to spot them.
Okay. And so it's a lot of modern comics playing 70s comics.
Yes.
So Will Forte and Domhnall Gleeson are the main guys?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll check it out.
I'll tell you something. I'm going to pull it up right now as soon as I get it.
I'm seeing now that it was released January 26th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know it was recently.
Yeah, who is in this film? That Annette O'Toole, Harry Groder, Martin Mull. I'm trying to find some people you would know that. Rick Overton, you probably don't know who it is, but I do.
I know Camille Gowdy and David Wayne.
And Natasha Lyonne, who makes me laugh so hard.
American Pie, okay.
And I think my favorite scene, Cav, is that scene at the beginning where they're introducing all the writers and then they show, no, we don't have any black writers. They're like, sorry, you can't be in this film. And they just kick them out.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. And I also, like I said, I think this man was brilliant. You know, I felt bad for his parents, just didn't get it.
Well, and he tried very hard. He invited them to the premieres and stuff like that. But they were squares.
Yeah.
They were not, they were a different generation. They didn't get his sense of humor.
I mean, he must have been loaded. And I like how when the whole beginning scene where they're trying to get the magazine published, they have to go to Weight Watchers magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was great. I got a question. Is this all true?
Yeah. I mean, aside from the extrapolation and stuff like that, the film stuff is pretty much, it might be exaggerated a bit for the sake of entertainment, but for the most part, I believe it's a true story.
Okay. Well, I definitely still recommend watch.
And I say if you're looking for just a good comedy and you want to learn something about the history of 70s comedy and where 80s comedy films came from and where we went with Reiner and Reitman and all these things that started coming up, this is the place to go.
And I thought they did a very good job of casting lookalikes.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew, and I can't believe Lorne Michaels stole all the writers for Saturday Night Live.
Well, that was the thing, is that basically, without National Lampoon, there would not have been Saturday Night Live.
And yeah, like Saturday Night Live just took the National Lampoon idea and put it on TV.
Right, they took their radio show, all of the actors they had hired for the radio show, who came from City, what's that called, Second City.
Yes.
And,
the American show? Cool.
Well, there's a Chicago branch, and there's quite a few people came from Chicago.
Okay.
But, you know, it's fascinating just to see the origins of it all.
Yeah, and they literally stole the whole Saturday Night Live original cast from National Lampoon.
Shit, okay.
It's amazing. You've got to see it. It's like Lorne Michaels, you ripped them off. And the guy looks like Lorne Michaels. I couldn't believe how much everybody looked like they were supposed to.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
They embodied them.
Which I thought. Intern, you opening the vault?
Squeak.
No cool clips this week?
Nope.
No t-shirts to give away?
Nope.
How about Bob Goes to the Mall outtakes? Anything?
Nope.
Oh. 16 Candles. Molly Ringwald. Anthony Michael Hall, Paul Dooley, I think it's in this film. I love Paul Dooley, if it's who I think it is. So, Kevin, you made me watch 16 Candles, which I probably haven't seen in years.
Long Duck Dong?
A Long Duck Dong was, it still made me laugh, Long Duck Dong.
Carol, that's really like the only thing I remember of his.
Carol, oh, and a young John Cusack, I can't forget that.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God. Joan Cusack's in this, too. It's Greek Girl number one, but I don't remember seeing her. And Brian Dole Murray is the reverend. So why did you want to watch 16 Candles again, Kev?
I have no idea. I think I just sort of came across and said, oh, I haven't watched this in a long time.
I think I watched when I was 16, probably around there. I saw this film maybe 14.
I haven't seen this for like 5 years.
I think this film is music. It shows me how good John Hughes was at picking music.
Yeah.
And I think the music melds in. I love the Anthony Michael Hall character. I like his goofy friends. It reminded me so much of my high school years. And pulling pranks and doing this kind of stuff. I thought Molly Ringwald was perfect, and they forgot her birthday, and she didn't really care, and she's trying to meet the guy of her dreams.
I remember not really caring for her character.
I don't think she has a lot going for her character. I think she's just more of a muse for the film.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't remember a lot about her. Like, I thought she was forgettable at the time.
She is.
Okay.
But she's there more to surface the I think it's the Anthony Michael Hall movie. I really do think it's more about him and his hijinks.
And Long Duck Dong.
Long Duck Dog is great. What's your first name? Yong. My name's Doc. And he's on the machine with the girl?
You're missing one guy, the character she likes.
Jake?
Michael Stoeckling.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, I think this
what
was...
What does Long Duck say when he's up in the tree?
Yes, and falls down in his face. I like how the old people kept thinking that Michael Chaffin was voting for sex. What's he calling for? It just made me laugh. I don't think this is a great comedy, but I think we see the origins of the Breakfast Club right here.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
I can see the Breakfast Club in this film. The origins of the Breakfast Club are 100% here for me.
Because this is 84, yeah?
Yes.
And then Breakfast Club was 85?
I cannot answer that. But
okay,
I think it's here. I think this is a solid comedy. It's fine. The writing is solid. I don't find there's any really loose scenes.
Okay.
I thought maybe the car scene and the drunk girl was a little much, but again, I accept it for what it was.
Is this the movie when they hold up her panties, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
And that's the whole thing. So, I mean, I like parts of it. I thought the ending was a little cheese-oriented, but okay, it's the 80s. We like the 80s for cheese movies. I think we start seeing them here, and I think it's solid. I mean, it's John Hughes. You can't go wrong, can you?
No.
Did John Hughes do Weird Science?
Yes.
Yep.
Because I like Weird Science better than this one.
Oh.
I haven't seen Weird Science.
To me, I think this was the first one. This was the one that started it all.
Okay. The OG.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's a great film. Kevin, so are we going to do more John Hughes in the future then?
We should, yeah. Why not?
Because we haven't covered a lot of his. We haven't done Breakfast Club. We haven't done Weird Science. We haven't done Curly Sue.
John Hughes Day.
I've never seen Curly Sue.
Neither have I. I think I started it one day and just never got finished it.
None of us have seen Curly Sue. We should do that next week.
Okay.
No.
Provided it's on some streaming service.
I will send you a DVD. Yeah. I think I might have one on my shelf.
Oh, have we ever done Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Yes. Can we talk about this off air, please? Can we continue
yes.
on?
Sorry, guys.
You keep trying to sidetrack me. Okay, another movie. Kevin's like reaching into the vault and pulling out stuff I saw when I was really young. And I think I saw this with you, Kevin, or you recommended to me when we first met.
What's that?
Ghost World.
Ghost World. No, I mean, I think I first met you in the late 80s, so Ghost World's like 93.
So, yeah, but we knew each other, so I think I only saw this
sure.
because of you.
I thought this one was early 2000s, the Thora Birch one?
2001.
Oh, yeah, 2001. Sorry, I'm a decade off.
So we've known each other 5 years at this point, Kevin.
What?
I'm 21 for this? No, I'm 20, so you recommended this to me for sure.
No, this movie came out what year? 2001, we just
yeah.
established.
Oh, I'm 30, sorry, 30. What am I saying? 30.
Yeah, you and I met you when you were like a teenager.
16.
I was a teenager.
I was 16.
Yeah, I was like 17 or something.
Yeah, that's what we met. But you would have recommended this film to me because I'm sure you told me I need to watch this.
Yeah, probably.
So, Steve Buscemi, Thora Birch, Scarlett Johansson, Brad Renfro, Ileana Douglas, Bob Balaban, who I love, absolutely
right.
love, and Stacey Travis, and I think that's it of excitement. A Ghost World. I rewatched this just for the show today to make sure I was prepared.
It's based on a graphic novel that came out.
Yeah, by Dan Close, wasn't it?
So a graphic novel would have come out in the 90s.
Well, I still think this film holds up to today. I still love it. I still think Scarlett Johansson can't act to save her life.
No.
She just is so boring to me in films. And Thora Birch impressed me. I just love Thora Birch in this. And Steve Buscemi,
Thora
I just
Birch
love
is
it.
Really good in this.
And I just love Steve Buscemi, and I love Bob Balaban. I find this film works on all my levels. I think Thor Birch does a great driving force for the film as a protagonist. I don't think she makes bad choices. I really don't.
And Thora Birch is one of those actresses that just disappeared.
She did. I've been looking her up, actually. I did spend some time going, what happened to Thora Birch? And then she's done, still working, but nothing I watch. Like, she's still in films and this and that, and I'm kind of like, what have you been doing? But she's not doing anything big. But I really want to discuss the end of the film with you.
What?
I mean, this is really a teenage angst film, I think. She's trying to, a challenge, trying to find where she wants to go.
I think it's more of a high school's over, now I'm an adult, where do I fit kind of movie.
Yeah, but I don't think she knows where she fits. ScarJo seems to know where she wants to go.
Right, but... So here's the thing. Neither of them know where they want to fit. Right? So...
Yes, I agree. But ScarJo definitely has a plan. I'm going to work. I'm going to get an apartment.
Right. But Thora Birch has always been directionless. She just wants to be sarcastic.
Yes. And we get right, that at all the jobs she works at the movie theater, she's rude to everybody.
But she starts to make something of herself. She discovers that she is good at art. She discovers that she's capable of certain things. And then it's all yanked away from her.
Yes.
And that Ileana Douglas is awful as this art teacher that, you know, she sets her up and she accepts her project. And then, so they don't like the content of her project, but she doesn't mean that she should get a bad grade. They just take it down.
That's right.
But instead they kick her out of the program and they won't, you know.
But don't we kind of need that to set up the end of the film?
Well, what does she do? Does she commit suicide? I'm not quite sure what she does at the end.
Well, that's what I want to ask. I thought she did took her own advice and just went to it. Because she asked Steve Buscemi, why don't we get into a car and go somewhere where nobody knows us?
Right, but she also finds that old man who's waiting for a bus and he's like, shows you what you know.
Yes.
You know.
And the bus shows up.
Right.
But does the bus exist? I understand the concept. Like, is she... envisioning that? Did she kill herself? I don't think she killed herself. I don't see
I think she kills herself. I think she dies.
You think so? And then the bus is just taking her off into Neverland?
Yeah.
Wow, that's freaking dark, Kevin.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I just thought she followed her own advice and got on the bus and went.
It's one of those ambiguous endings, then?
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. You kind of got to decide what you want. Kevin thinks she committed suicide, but I think Heather
I think she does. I think
she could, she and I would accept that as an answer. I think I just like the film too much, enjoy Thora Birch too much, that I don't want her to die.
That's like a personality quiz. How much do you like Thora Birch?
Well, if you hate Thora Birch's character, you'll accept Kevin's ending. But Kevin likes
Thora Birch. Well, I love Cora Thora Birch's character. I'm like, this. I want to meet this girl.
Yeah, so do I. I think she's perfect for
it. She was like the ideal girl for me back in the day.
Absolutely.
But, and it's funny that Scarlett Johansson has gone on to become this bombshell.
And she's terrible.
I like her. She's not goes in the show, but...
You like Heather Graham, too, for the same reason. And Kate Hudson for the same reason.
Spy Who Shaved Me. But no, Kate Hudson's great, actually.
She's nice to look at. Can't act, but nice to look at.
I thought she was really, really good in Almost Famous.
It's
though.
A fabulous script. She's reading lines. Go get
so
my divorce.
So what I find funny is, like, in a sense, I kind of feel like I've become the Steve Buscemi character as I've gotten older.
I
but
think,
I'm probably more like his buddy.
Oh, yeah, I think you're roommate. More like his buddy, Josh. Yeah, he won't do anything. He hasn't had any women in 3 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this film is still good. Like, if you ask me top 10 films, this might have made my list. Like, but do people hate Ghost World? I don't know.
No, it's very well reviewed and well liked.
Okay. Because, I mean, you don't hear anything about it. Because everybody goes about ScarJo, but she's not really in it.
And Terrence Wyckoff, his films haven't really. I mean, he's known, but he's not loved.
Yeah.
He's only done this, Bad Santa, and Art School.
Well, we've done Art School. We've reviewed all three of his films, then.
And then there's two documentaries of a TV movie.
Art School Confidential.
I think this spins out of Crumb.
Yes. I haven't seen Crumb.
Oh, Crumb, you should see.
I've never seen Crumb.
Yeah, that's one of his documentaries.
Yeah, it's about the cartoonist Robert Crumb.
Because I remember getting into a fight with a comic store owner named, let me think, Harry Tarantula Leon that wouldn't give me a pass. Because he had to bring all his friends, and nobody showed up. Not one of his friends showed up.
Well, Leon is a class act, you know.
So he had to keep all the passes for him and his friends. None of them showed up. Thanks, Leon. Still remember this day why I didn't see Krupman, that's why. Because yeah, I couldn't get a free pass. Yeah, that was the big thing. So, Kevin, I got good news for you. I finally finished The Punisher.
Oh, you finally finished Marvel's The Punisher?
I know I'm a little slow, but I did get through it a few weeks ago, and I forgot to bring it up, so I'm bringing it up now.
I'm going to tune out for this one.
I think my biggest issue was I found it very slow at times again. I found it I love the Punisher scenes. I thought he was phenomenal as the Punisher.
Right.
But I just found the lead actress not great. And I found it too much talking for me. I wanted more action.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
There isn't a lot of action in it. You're right about that. I gotta say, I'm not a fan of the Punisher character, so for me to like the Punisher character, it's a big thing, and I actually like the Punisher character in this movie, or in this television show.
So I like the character. I love Micro.
No, the Micro's a great character.
And I got bored a lot of time, like, so much talking. And I'm seeing it's just like every time I watch a Marvel show, I'm like, okay, we're back to the boardroom again. Daredevil is the only one that interests me when he talks. He seems to have interesting conversations.
Right.
I mean, I don't like Jessica Jones at all. Didn't enjoy that.
Oh, I like Jessica Jones just fine.
I did enjoy Luke Cage because I thought that he's mixed it up a lot with the nightclub and this and that and different scenes, different characters coming in and out. Did a lot for me. Iron Fist was just like boardroom stuff 24/7. And this reminded me a lot of Iron Fist in that sense, and it just didn't do anything for me.
I'm going to disagree with you. I thought this was very entertaining, and unlike Iron Fist, which was all talking heads and boring.
No, I think it's way better than Iron Fist. Iron Fist is the worst one. I think this is solid. I just didn't like the CIA part of it. I just didn't like her as a lead. She just didn't interest me. I liked the Deborah Wall scenes. I thought they were good on the bench. Like, the parts of it I did enjoy. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking for. I want more action. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And sometimes I think I'm watching Green Arrow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not to Green Arrow terrible level, but sometimes I feel it's getting there. Like, Green Arrow is just awful. So, okay. Yeah. Well, that's it from us this week, I think, isn't it, Kev? Till next time?
I think so. We don't have any trivia or anything like that you
want to
run?
You want me to run some trivia? Give me 30 seconds. I'll be right back.
We don't have to do trivia. We can save it for another time.
Do you want to do 15-17 to Paris or do that next time?
Oh, shoot. I totally forgot. Yes, do 15-17 to Paris. We'll wrap up with that because I forgot.
Right.
And I don't even remember these people in it, and nor do I care who they are.
I'm sorry I made you watch this one.
Oh, God. Intern, are you still here? We lost the intern?
He's still on the screen, but I think he's asleep.
Oh, that's the guy that's been snoring the whole time? Well, me and Daniel will discuss it.
Bob, wake up.
Bob, wakey, wakey.
What?
15-17 to Paris.
What about it?
Tell us what you thought.
I hated it.
Oh,
I despised it. I honestly saw 50 Shades Freed, like, the other week, and I still can't remember.
You saw that? I would have added it to the list. I've seen it, too. Bad.
Still, like, we'll talk about it next time, but, like, I just can't remember the last time I was this bored at a movie. And it's like, why do we care about you guys going to fucking middle school? Like, it's like, I don't want to shit talk, like, I feel bad they shit talk in this movie because, like, they were brave to do what they did, but it's like, I do not care. This movie, like, you didn't do enough to deserve a movie. Like, there's just not enough story there. And it really made me mad.
Daniel, so there's no story here. They went through boot camp. They're all friends. I got it.
And the acting is so bad. It's, like, they're not actors.
It's not the wrong actors. There's nothing here.
It's like a student film with Clint Eastwood's name on it.
It's like an expensive indie.
Yeah, and I saw this really true, like, quote, like, review quote. It's like, you want a real screenwriter, real actors to be parachuted in. It's like, oh.
I want Liam Neeson from The Commuter to show up and look for
only, like, there's literally, like, it's all set up for literally 2 minutes of action. It's like, what the fuck,
and it's, man, literally 2 minutes.
Literally. I was so mad. And it's like, okay, why are you setting this up with three little scenes throughout to tease it when it's so uneventful?
Nothing happens.
They didn't even tell us it was ISIS.
Was it ISIS?
I learned after that it was it was an ISIS attack. And honestly, I know it was to honor their heroism, but I would have been interested to see, like, them planning the attack and then they're so mad that it got thwarted.
I thought it was just some random guy.
Yeah, like, they didn't even tell us, oh, hey, by the way, this was ISIS. This was one of their planned attacks.
You know what? I didn't care. I was falling asleep.
I was so mad.
I'm like, this is so uneventful. Like, why would you make this movie?
And, like, there's, like, and then it's so repetitive, too. And then, like, Jenna Fisher is like, oh, like, I think God told me that you're on, like, a path that something exciting is going to happen. And this makes me so emotional.
Jenna Fisher drives me nuts. I think she's so overrated.
Oh, I love her on The Office.
I've never seen The Office, so I can't tell you.
Okay, you'd probably like her if you saw that.
But it had Judy Greer in it, so that made me happy.
And, like, Judy Greer, like, the one scene she shared with the adult son, it just shows how bad he's out of his league. And it's like, oh, like, I haven't done anything with my life, and then I try, and I still fail. It's like, I don't care, Spencer.
Thanks, Spencer. I wish I could even argue with you. You've talked about this film perfectly. I 100% agree with you.
Even from his first scene when he's doing at his juice job, and then a guy comes in and is like, oh, hey, by the way, like, do you regret going into the freaking Marines? And it's like, no, not really. It's like, okay, that's a great fucking scene.
Oh, the scene, he's late. He goes, why were you late? Because I slept in, sir. Do some push-ups. I'm like, oh.
Like, there's a scene in the trailer where he's running to class, and I thought, like, okay, that seems eventful. And I was so mad when it's just literally him running to class because
he slept in. Oh,
like, I thought, like, the only scene of merit for the actual 2 minute thing was, like, him waiting at, like, on the lockdown with a pen. That's like, okay, maybe this shows that he might want to be heroic.
I thought something was gonna happen there,
right? And, like, my dad was like, I saw him with my dad, he's such a he's like, he says, like, bang. At one point, it's like, no, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's happened this whole movie. I don't think it's going to happen yet. Right?
It's an absolute terrible film, Kevin. Do not watch this film.
Okay.
It's guaranteed to be my top 10 most boring films of all time.
Yeah.
Ferdinand's probably number 2. This would have beat Ferdinand's my worst movie of the year.
I think it's already crowned, like, top 5 in my worst list. Like, I don't think it's going to get dethroned.
Well, 50 Shades Freeze is number 1 on the list already. But we'll discuss that next week.
Okay, I think this will be my number 1 worst.
Okay, we're out of here, right, guys? We're done?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I'm Simon.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Daniel.
Intern.
Oh, he's still awake. And if they make it?
You make us watch us.
I think Bob will buy us the ball.